Welcome to ID the Future. I'm Joshua Yunkin. Today we offer a brief take on an important new book. Woody Allen was once quoted as saying, "Can we actually know the universe? My God, it's hard enough finding your way around in Chinatown." Woody Allen's a funny guy, and he says lines in a funny way. But this really isn't a funny question. It's a good one. And it's a question taken up by author and philosopher Thomas Nagel in his new book, Mind and Cosmos: Why the Materialist Neo-Darwinian Conception of Nature is Almost Certainly False. We've already covered a little bit about this book on ENV, but what's the rest of it about? The book is ultimately about whether the world, and all in it, is completely knowable, at least in principle. According to the author, it isn't. See, the world is filled not only with objects, like rocks and trees, but also with subjective first-person viewpoints, yours, mine, and those of other conscious creatures. Yet our favorite third-person way of knowing, science, was not developed to get its arms all the way around these oddities of existence, says Nagel. Science does objects well, subjects, not so much. Since the all-is-knowable crowd, alternately addressed by Nagel as reductionist on mind, naturalist on epistemology, materialist on metaphysics, neo-Darwinian on biology, since this crowd pins its hope for complete knowledge on science, the book is also about the inherent limits of science as applied materialism, and how those limits might be overcome by ditching materialism for some form of teleology. On those limits, science is at least a set of tools and ideas useful to innovators and engineers for solving problems of a physical nature, like how to build a better mousetrap, or useful for science teachers to initiate science students into science practice. To say that that's all science is good for, technology or pedagogy, is to embrace scientific instrumentalism. Nagel doesn't do that. At most, science can also accurately describe physical reality, even, and most importantly, the stuff we don't see. Take, for example, the idea that invisible electrons are not merely useful social constructs, but real entities, real things whizzing about atomic nuclei. This is an instance of scientific realism. Nagel charitably grants scientific realism to the materialist. If, however, the world contains not only particles in motion, conceitedly fully describable by science, but also includes subjective first-person viewpoints that are not reducible to particles in motion, and thus at least partly inscrutable to science, then science, even at its best, could never offer a complete picture of the world. That is, science as science will necessarily lack the vocabulary to capture and express the myriad private worlds of subjective conscious experience. To take Nagel's famous example, science could tell you everything you want to know about bats, except what it is like to be a bat, to see via echolocation. Similarly, brain scientists could in principle learn every objective fact about your brain and how it works, yet they wouldn't, by virtue of this knowledge, know what sugar tastes like to you. In the final chapter of the book, Nagel sums up the matter this way, quote, "In attempting to understand consciousness as a biological phenomenon, it is too easy to forget how radical is the difference between the subjective and the objective, and to fall into the error of thinking about the mental in terms taken from our ideas of physical events and processes. Mind and cosmos thus serves firstly as a reminder that there are some things that science can't do, can't say, and that as a result, all is not knowable. And unless you're in the science unveils all business, as some seem to be, a little mystery in the world is not such a bad thing." This has been ID the Future. I'm Joshua Yunkin. Thank you for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.